This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to get to visit with Sanjeev Agrawal. Sanjeev is the President and Chief Operating Officer of LeanTOS. We're going to talk today with Sanjeev about the following situation. You've got many, many health systems that are running multiple different EHR systems, particularly a lot of consolidated health systems. Talk about how some of those systems, some of the problems with that, how cloud technology can help, about the LeanTOS IQ solution and sort of what that does to help manage operating rooms. I know it's been used in more than 3,000 operating rooms today, and a lot more. To give some background on LeanTOS and particularly on Sanjeev, is as follows. Sanjeev serves as the President and Chief Operating Officer of LeanTOS. LeanTOS is the leading artificial intelligence, machine learning analytics company in healthcare operations. LeanTOS is a predictive analytics software, powers over 130 health systems and 500 hospitals to improve access and lower cost. Sanjeev himself is the co-author of the book, Better Healthcare Through Math. Before LeanTOS, Sanjeev was Google's first head of product marketing and led three successful startups. He was CEO at Eloqua, acquired by Motorola, VP of products and marketing at Tell Me Networks, acquired by Microsoft, and founder and CEO at CollegeFeed, acquired by After College. By educational background, Sanjeev graduated with a Bachelor's of Science and Master's of Science degrees in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science from MIT. He started his career at McKinsey & Company and at Cisco Systems before joining Google. Sanjeev's also been named as one of the most innovative leaders in healthcare by Becker's Hospital and Becker's Healthcare. Sanjeev, a pleasure to get to visit with you and talk about some of the many challenges facing big health systems and how they operate, how they work through logistics, and a lot more. Sanjeev, let me ask you, before we get started, is there anything you'd like to add to the introduction or clarify for our listeners about yourself or about LeanTOS?
No, I think that was a very warm intro and welcome. Thank you, Scott, for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sanjeev. We're going to talk about sort of the situation we have going on currently. Many large health systems operate in a multi-EHR environment, because they were an amalgamation of systems for different reasons. Can you talk a little bit about systems that have this multi-EHR environment? Which challenges does this present for clinicians and for the organization? What challenges come with that?
So, you know, I equate the situation that many large systems with multiple EHRs find themselves in from a patient perspective. It's as if you knew one language and you were traveling to Europe. And you, when you went from country to country, you experienced not just the issues with language, but the associated cultural norms and similar issues. And I say that because, you know, if a system has five different EHRs, it is very hard for them to have this notion of systemness, this notion of being able to create, for example, a system-wide governance policy, to be able to standardize metrics, to be able to standardize scheduling protocols, to be able to even read the right data from all of these systems to compare apples to apples about how they're doing. And, you know, another metaphor I like using is, imagine if Delta Airlines had a different process for travelers at every airport. And if you were going through New York, the terminal looked different, the logos looked different, how they seated you on the plane looked different and felt different. It would just lead to a lot of chaos and much higher cost. So we'll dig deeper into it, but there are multiple issues. Systemness and lack of governance is one. Standardizing processes, because these systems allow very different capabilities. Just the big ones, for example, Epic and Cerner are quite different in how operating room blocks are set up. If you think about, you know, business continuity and disaster recovery, you have to plan for that. And that's such a big deal these days in different ways, because EHRs work differently, they're hosted differently, the technology is resilient to different extents. So, yeah, we can spend a lot of time diving deep into some of these issues, but those would be some of the big ones.
Thank you very, very much. And when you talk about sort of truly connecting the systems and true interoperability, it can be very, very difficult to impossible in such an environment. Increasingly, though, people are working with cloud-based systems to help health systems achieve a better level of continuity across systems. Can you talk about how this works, how people sort of weave together these different EHRs, these different systems through cloud-based technologies? Give us a sense of how that works, Sanjeev.
Absolutely. So think about a cloud-based tool that sits on top of all of these different EHRs as sort of a bridge. Or if you had Google Translate in my example of going through Europe, where no matter what language or what set of norms you're coming across, there was this translator for you that could translate what is being told to you, and what you say is being translated in the appropriate language. So what ends up happening is when you have cloud-based tools, and we certainly have several of them that are adopted by a system across these EHRs, if this cloud-based tool is able to create a data schema, a natural language that in some ways harmonizes the data across these systems and presents a view of all that data that can be viewed as the same. So if Italian and German and Portuguese could all be translated into English, and then English could be translated back into those languages, that's really the core nugget of why systems that straddle all these EHRs are able to normalize and harmonize the communication across them. So to give you a few examples, we work with several systems that have, you know, 500 to 1,000 ORs. And many of these systems might have three different EHRs. The way metrics across these EHRs are calculated, the way blocks are set up, the way block policy can be set up, are all different. What the purpose we would serve in that situation, for example, is to create one layer that sits across these multiple EHRs, extracts data, and then translates it into a schema that is common to all of them. Now, from that, so essentially what that means is no matter which underlying system I'm pulling data from, I'm now able to present metrics that actually mean the same thing, follow the same definitions, while respecting the nuances of that of the underlying EHRs. It also means that if we create policies like, you need to give up time 2 weeks before day of, this notion of auto release, we're able to smooth that out across each EHR and be able to look at the data underneath that and make the right assumptions based on it. Our company does a lot of predictive analytics that requires timestamps from these EHRs. Being able to make sure that one timestamp in one EHR and another one from another EHR are actually pointing to the same timestamp, wheels in, wheels out, first cut, close, cut to close. These are all mappings that a cloud-based tool can do. And I'm just giving you three or four examples amongst hundreds of these systems that are going through EHR transitions. You know, there's a lot of them that are going through EHR transitions. The sanctity of the data pre-transition and the ability to harmonize that with the data post-transition. How do you ensure that you don't lose all your historical data and metrics and analytics? And then when you adopt a new system, you're able to apples to apples now compare what you used to have with what you now have. So those are some of the things that that these cloud-based systems do. The ability to standardize processes, the ability to streamline and have apples-to-apples comparisons of the metrics, all of those things are possible with cloud-based tools that sit on top of these disparate EHRs.
Well, and it's such an important point because we've got so many mega health systems, large health systems, mid-sized health systems that are a consolidation of health systems that do have Cerner, Epic, Meditech, other systems as well. And it's a lot more efficient and a lot less expensive and a lot better to use a cloud-based solution to tie some of those together sometimes than to change it and buy a new HR for other parts of your system, because that itself is a tens of millions to often hundreds of millions of dollars a job, whereas a cloud-based solution is going to be eons cheaper than that and get you to just as good or a better place often. So such a great alternative. Take a moment. You've got LeanTOS is operating in, I think, 130 health systems. You're using the IQ solution is being used in 2,500 or more operating rooms. Tell us a little bit about how the how the IQ solution works, how cloud-based solutions like IQ work, and why they're so important.
Absolutely. And just an update to that, we now work with over 140 health systems, over 3,000 ORs. Our business has grown quite a bit just in the last 6 months. The reason, to your point about how IQ works, we have multiple products within the suite. I'll pick one, which is IQ for operating rooms that you mentioned. The way that solution works is that, like the cloud-based solutions I was describing, it coexists and sits as a layer of intelligence above any EHR you have. So in the hypothetical scenario that people have Epic, Cerner, Meditech, Pisces, Allscripts, no matter what the EHR is, the first thing we do is we're able to extract data from all these EHRs and normalize and harmonize them using our data schema that now creates a common layer, the Google Translate layer, if you may, if you're traveling through Europe. And then we use this data to make predictions and prescriptions that are very, very key in five different dimensions. These five dimensions or problems are what we consider the most important problems in perioperative capacity management. The first is creating more access to open time. So as we all know, because of the way blocks are set up and the politics around how blocks are managed, most block owners tend to not give up time even when they know they're not going to use it. So the first part of our tool is called Exchange. It's sort of like Open Table for open time. It predicts who is not going to use their block by looking at historical usage patterns and demand patterns, gets them to release that time, puts the right institutional rules, and advertises that time to others who might be able to pick it up, sort of like day trading of block time. And it's hugely efficient because it helps release time early, release block time early, create open time, and pack more cases during business hours. Especially in a multi-EHR environment, that is really hard to do by hand or your schedulers chasing people around. The second part of the tool is helping with making manual processes automated. So we still live in a world where, you know, most multi-EHR environments are in large systems where there are parts of the system that have actually no EHR. So those parts of the systems might be surgeons in clinic offices, physician practices that have the ability to take cases to multiple health systems. And so they're not on the EHR of any one of those health systems. And so today they're faxing and phoning in and emailing in case forms. 2022, Scott, this should not be happening. Even from a security and privacy perspective, that's not a great practice. So our tool allows schedulers in these non-EHR environments to be able to electronically enter case information and push that into whichever EHR that they're working with. And that's huge in terms of reducing errors, in terms of making the process between OR scheduling and clinic scheduling a lot more streamlined, et cetera. The third part of the tool has to do with governance. How do we create a block policy where the right time is being allocated to the right surgeon group or service line or block owner on the right day of the week in the right location? And we don't think traditional methods like looking at block utilization as the metric work. And just to give you a simple example, block utilization penalizes surgeons and block owners for things that are A, out of their control, and B, not that meaningful. You can't add a 5-minute delay to a 9-minute first case delay to a 13 minutes left at the end of the day by an efficient surgeon and expect to get a case done in 5 + 9 + 13 minutes. And yet all over the country, we're using these metrics that frankly are not very logical. So we replace that with more meaningful metrics that are surgeon-centric, both to figure out who to take time away from and who to give it to based on real signal of demand. And so if you're trying to create a block policy that is standardized across EHRs and is standardized across your locations, you can do that using this tool that is giving you transparent and credible access into metrics that matter, sort of like moving from the imperial system of measurement to the metric system, which if you don't, it's much harder to do complicated things like send man to the moon. The fourth aspect of this is analytics that matter. So again, in a multi-EHR cloud-based environment, the ability to draw data from these underlying systems and standardize them to be able to create all the KPIs that matter to health systems. First case delays, case volume, turnover time, block utilization, room utilization, staff utilization, provide slicing and dicing ability, almost, you know, Tableau and steroids, is, again, much easier to do in a cloud environment across these multiple EHRs, especially when you're not just looking at retrospective analytics, but also prospective analytics. So much like airlines can predict what the number of travelers are going to be on any leg of a flight weeks into the future, and that's how they determine pricing, we're able to predict how much case volume a health system will do in a particular location on a given day based on historical patterns and how many cases are already on the books. That's a really important ingredient to be able to optimize staffing, because if I can predict for the next 60 days the likelihood that you'll do a vastly different number of cases than you think you will do, that you have staffing planned for, by predicting what's going to happen, and it's reasonably accurate, now you have some lead time to manage your staffing up or down, depending on what the prediction's saying. And that's just one example of a future-looking analytic that's part of the fourth part of the tool. And the fifth part of the tool is all about staffing, which is, in addition to predicting how much staff I'm going to need by day of week, by location, it's also showing you or showing charge nurses who works best with whom, and helping them create the daily roster. So it's sort of a charge nurse helper. Across these five modules, if you will, you have this very robust perioperative capacity management system we've built across, and you know, now 55 health systems, 3,000 ORs have adopted it. They are all doing really, really well. They're doing more business cases, more cases during business hours, roughly 5 to 15% more cases using tools like these.
Thank you very, very much. You went through five big categories, and quite frankly, we could do a separate podcast just on those categories. But automation, and everybody's got to automate today, everything that they can, better use of blocks, clear governance strategies and governance rules for how blocks work, analytics and analytics that matter, and then fifth, staffing and rostering and how you sort of work with staffing around your ORs, and you're working with 3,000 ORs currently. 55 different health systems are using the IQ system. And finally, a robust perioperative capacity system. Thank you very, very much. And at some point, Sanjay, would love to do a separate discussion just around this so people get this clarity of here's what IQ does. Let me ask you this question. You've worked on healthcare, you know, better healthcare through math, looked at logistics of healthcare. I've heard you equate it, so sort of how the airline industry works, really, and this efficiency of OR use is more important than ever. With shortages of nurses, shortages of surgeons, the high cost of labor, the efficiency of this, and trying to make sure the surgery machine is working well at hospitals and hospitals, the procedure systems working well at hospitals is so, so important. Any closing thoughts for listeners today, Sanjay? Anything you wanted to share?
I think we've covered a lot, Scott. I will just say that maybe this is obvious and well-known to everyone, but this idea of efficiency that lets us do more with less is not an option anymore. Health systems don't have the luxury, and you can look at people's balance sheets and their P&L statements to know this, the ones that are published anyway, that productivity and efficiency through tools like these is not a nice to have. Money isn't as cheap anymore. There's a lot of focus on the cost and the waste in healthcare. And so I just hope that the leadership teams of every health system in this country, who I know are worried about this, do look to technology and automation and predictive analytics as at least one big way in which many other airlines, like you, many other industries, like you said, whether it's airlines or transportation or retail, have completely transformed themselves. And many of the forces at work in healthcare today, highly asset-intensive industry, $2 trillion of assets have been put into the ground, highly variable in terms of demand and supply, highly seasonal in many cases, and with staffing shortages, the only way to get out of this, unscathed or more powerful than before, is to do what all these other asset-intensive industries that face similar pressures have done. So, you know, we are very excited because this is a great time to be alive. All this data exists, and being able to get that out and do meaningful things with it is very, very exciting. So thank you for having me, Scott.
Sanjeev, always a pleasure to visit with you, and couldn't agree more with the premise that technology and automation is just a huge part of how we use things more efficiently, and it's no longer a nice to have, but you actually have to do these things to just maintain margins at all. Sanjeev Agrawal, President and Chief Operating Officer at Leantos, founder of a few different startups, brilliant person, McKinsey, MIT. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today, Sanjeev. Thank you very much.